Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the service here this evening. For first song, let's turn to song number 28 in the Christian hymnal. Song number 28.
Let's go. Walking in sunlight, oh, my journey. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah.
Song number 404. Song number 404. And after this song, I'll take a selection from you.
Perishing things are fled, born by
Right, song number 439.
Once I wandered in darkness and sin, till the Savior came knocking at my heart, and I opened the door, let him in. Now reach blessings to me.
Turn back, never turn back. He's my light, he's my light, every hour and day.
It's a privilege to have Tim's with us right now, and so we'll look to Brother Tim at this time for our devotions.
Hey, good evening in Jesus' name, and also want to bring greetings from this little church in Belize this evening. I'd like to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 46, for a few words. I've appreciated, really enjoyed the service this morning, and I was thinking of, as we heard about the new birth and the, and then later the comments that were made on the some of the wrong representations of what the new birth actually is. Much of what's wrong with the teaching of the new birth, or the false teaching of the new birth today, is simply that the cross of Christ is left out of it. And without the cross, without the work that Jesus has done on the cross, and us coming to that, and the cross doing the work, its work in our lives, we will never experience the new work or the new birth. And I think that's what's many times that is the what's missing in many people's lives today that are among God's people, but they have never really come to a cross experience. I'd like to turn to it was Isaiah 46. I also am happy to be here this evening at your hymn singing. I miss these hymn singings, probably, or the singing in a large group like this, probably about as much as I miss anything. And I love it to have the opportunity to when I have it to share with you like this in a meeting like this. The songs of a church or the songs of a group of people, I think you can tell an awful lot about a person by the songs that he loves. And the songs that we should cultivate, the love for the music that we should cultivate, are the songs that teach us about God, who God is. There's lots of other good songs that talk about our experience. But we can so easily get to talking about our experience and our experience, which so much of today's music is about. And we forget to talk about who God is. And that's why I love those hymns. I love the church hymn. I love some of those hymns in there that talk about the person of God. There's some great theology there. Now, Isaiah chapter 46 talks about gods. It says, Bel boweth down. These are gods of Babylon. Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth, their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle, your carriages were heavy laden, they are a burden to the weary beast. And the picture here is that men are taking idols, Babylon is coming under captivity, men are taking idols, they're gods, men are taking gods, laying them on carts and loading down these carts. And they're so heavy that the beasts can hardly carry them. And then it says they stoop, they bow down together, they could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Here's the picture. Babylon is being overrun by enemies. Men are taking the gods that could not protect them, and these men couldn't protect the gods, and they're being... It's just a disaster. These people are being carried away into captivity and their gods are going with them. Now he says, on the other hand, hearken unto me, O house of Israel, and all the remnant of the house of Israel. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even so in your old age I am, and even to hoar heads I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. I will carry you and deliver you. To whom shall you liken me and make mine equal and compare me that we may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag. They weigh silver in the balance. They hire a goldsmith and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him. They set him in his place. He standeth From his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet he cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. He's just pointing out the irony of this. We make a God, and then we worship it. We make a God, then we ask him to do something for us. It just doesn't make any sense. On the other hand, God is saying about himself that I will take care of you. I can take care of you. And he goes on to say that he'll do it from the time of, even before you're born, he says, until you have white hair, until you're an old man. He said, I'll take care of you all your life. So who is this God that is making these statements? Who is this God? There's plenty of people today that would say, and especially increasingly so in this country, who's God? They don't really see evidence for him. He hasn't given them enough evidence to believe. But God is simply the personal, moral, and infinite first cause. He's personal because he deals with us as a person. He's moral because he not only knows the difference between right and wrong, but from him comes the standard of that we know the difference between what's good and what's evil. And he's infinite because there's no end. He doesn't have a beginning, he doesn't have an end. And there's nothing that falls within the boundaries of his holy character that he cannot do. Those boundaries that he has placed for himself. His love is limitless to his children. And when we talk about God's power, we say that God's power is infinite. And by saying that, we mean that it has no limit. On the other hand, we're not saying that God can do everything he wants to do. Because God wants to, God's will is, that none should perish, and indeed many are perishing today. God's will is that mankind live at peace with each other and love each other, and men, instead, much of the world is hating and destroying each other. God wills that his children love him and serve him with all of their hearts and have no longing for the things of the world. And yet, many of God's children are so worldly-minded that they seem to love the world more than they love God. God's will is that his children love the people of the world in the same way that God loved the world and give themselves for their to bring them to reach them wherever they are and bring them to salvation, to Christ, who can save them. And yet many of God's children just live their own lives and just do that, live their own lives. So God can't do everything he would really want to do. God's will is, God wills this for us, and yet we sometimes limit God by our own inability or our own unwillingness. Power is simply the ability to do. And so we see God's power. Now, God's power in nature, or when we see God's power in the creation. But we also see God's power throughout as he interrupts. I was going to say that we see God's power in nation in creation. In nature in creation. But we also see God's power as he interrupts nature. A storm is suddenly stilled. And the sun stands still. And a bird suddenly gets interrupted from his normal activities and carries lunch to a man by a creek. God's power as he interrupts nature. God's power is seen in the spirit world. A war in heaven. Satan loses. Satan rises up against God, but he loses. And he was cast out of heaven. Satan wants to destroy a man named Job, but God draws a line and says, you can go this far, but no farther. And Satan can't cross that line. A distraught father comes to the Son of God and begs for help for his son, who is being tormented by a demon, and one word from the Son of God and the demon could do nothing with him again. God's power is seen in the spirit world, and God's power is seen in humanity, the power to change lives. John Newton, we all know the story of John Newton, a slave trader, or started off as a merchant ship, or his father was a merchant seaman, and he traveled with his father. He did voyages with his father for a while, and then he joined the Navy and ran away. Didn't like that. Was brought back and beat almost to death. And eventually, because of his own choice, he moved to be a part of a slave dealer's ship. Eventually had his own ship. And lived a rough life. But during a storm, he cried out to God, and God began to show his grace. And that, by his own testimony, that grace of God began to work in his life at that time. And he eventually wrote a song called Amazing Grace. And it's a wonderful song. But the power of God to change lives. The power of God to protect his people. We see that in the example of a million slaves fleeing from their captors, I guess you would say. And they're on foot, and they're not prepared for any kind of battle, and the soldiers are coming behind them. In front of them is the sea. Behind them is the world's most fearsome army. And God, how he works to deliver them by dropping down a wall that's fiery light on one side and inky darkness on the other side. And while the soldiers are milling around in the darkness all night, the slaves are escaping through the sea that God has opened up for them. God's power is just there. It's just so evident in the lives to protect his people. A man named Daniel was such a good man. Did everything so well that the king put him in charge of almost everything. But because he was doing so well, he provoked others to jealousy, and they arranged for having him cast into the den of lions. And you know, he spent the whole night in the lion's den. And the worst thing that happened was, I think the worst thing about that experience was it didn't smell good, and it really wasn't that bad because of God, what God did. And so we've been talking about others, what God has done for others. We've looked at those examples, but the question for us now is, what about us? Is God's power at work in our lives? Do our lives really demonstrate the power of God? Is there an area of our life where we specifically need, where we sense the need for God's power? Well, we can be assured that God not only has the ability to do where we need his power, he not only has the ability to give it to us, he has a desire to give it to us. He wants to give it to us. And he is waiting for that opportunity, or for us to open the door for him to do that. God's power is able to set us free from bondage. God's power is able to not only to keep us from doing what we don't want to do, or what we know we shouldn't do, or what we don't want to do, but the power to help us to do the things that we should. Thank him for that, and let's kneel for prayer. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the privilege we have to gather together in with your people today, all these wonderful people that you have brought together. And we know, Lord, that it's only because of Jesus Christ that we have any reason to have hope and have happiness, have joy, and be able to have a relationship with each other in this kind of way, and most of all that we can have the hope of eternity with you. So I just ask that your spirit would be here with us tonight as we sing, and that our hearts would truly be drawn to you, would be open to you, and that we would be inspired in some way to love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Excuse me. Thank you very much, Brother Tim, for sharing with us. Appreciated those thoughts very much, those glimpses into instances in the past where God's power was real in the lives of individuals, and the challenge and the reminder that God's power can be real to us today as well. And I want to remember that through the coming week especially. Thank you for sharing. Let's all stand and sing song number 38 in the Christian hymnal. song number 38 in the Christian hymnal.
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me.
Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between.
Thank you, children, for those songs. Lynette, for leading them. Let's turn to song number 569 in the Christian hymnal. Song number 569. And after this song, we'll look to Gwen's ladies group.
Just a few more days to be filled with praise and to tell the old, old story. And when twilight falls and my Savior calls, I shall go to Him in glory. I'll exchange my cross for a starry crown where the gates ring out.
Song we're singing tonight is called The Little Things, and sometimes I think it's the little things that are really the big things in the long run, and what Sometimes those little things that we can do are so simple, but it's what gives someone else the courage to go on. And then the last song that we're singing is A Mother's Smile. It's kind of a story song, and how that a mother's smile, I guess to me, is another small thing that we can do for our children.
Sometimes you think the things you do count not at all. You go along without a song your heart can sing, while other people do great deeds and shun the small. Release your fears, God sees and hears the little things, the little things. You smile, extend your hand, speak words to show you understand, and thus you tell the world that all eternal springs. No greater deeds can e'er be done here in this land, and all the while the Savior smiles on little things, the little. The rivers running deep and wide from shore to shore, though now they dart, they got their start from gentle springs. So is it true, and it must be forevermore. The souls that grow in spirit know. Once climbed a wayside tree, the story goes. It wasn't much, but it detached the King of Kings. And as you climb to greater heights, the Savior knows. You'll find your place and grow in grace with little things, the little things. You smile, extend your hand, speak words to show you understand, and thus you tell the world that hope eternal springs. No greater deeds can e'er be done here in this land, and all the while the Savior smiles on little things, the little.
Bring to him for all.
this smile, son, you can remember. She's gone to heaven from heartache free. The bars around you could never change her. You were her baby and ever will be. She did not bring to him parole or pardon. She brought no silver, no pomp or status. It was a halo sent down from heaven, the sweetest gift, a mother's
Thank you very much, ladies, for sharing. I appreciate that very much. I'd like to sing song number 156 in the Christian hymnal. And after this song, I'd like to ask the volunteer chorus to sing their numbers. So right after this, song number 156 in the Christian hymnal.
spoken already this evening, especially by Tim, and what he said about the songs of group things. So we kind of breached the thing over here. We have a couple of songs that are about experience. The first one is but this one talks about rest by and by, and I can't help but think of the different things that aren't here anymore of from having been here a year ago, and it's kind of changed. Anyway, the idea of our music and our Christianity is not one of stagnant weariness, but weariness from the work that we do, hopefully. And so the first song is that. It talks about the sweet rest by and by. But we're not all just floating along, you know, hopefully waiting for the end, to use that phrase, but we're living, we're looking for God and the things that He can show us and teach us.
636, church hymnal first here. Yeah?
Celebrate the birth of Christ in December, but we're excited about Jesus no matter what time of the year. And so this song brings back a lot of good memories of God, and everybody knows here. Old Bethlehem. Basis with God. God loves everybody, no matter who you are, what your race is, and that's just a wonderful thing about Christianity. I'm kind of forgetting anything about this.
Do one of you have a selection?
66.
Christian hymnal?
Church hymnal.
Church hymnal, song number 66. And after this song, we'll look to a song group in charge of Joseph.
Bye. The song we're going to sing tonight is a song we've wanted to sing for quite a while, but just never ever seemed like it worked out for us to sing it. It's not been a year yet since Francie left us, and it's those of you who have gone through a family loss, you know what it feels like. The odd times when it pops up, and when you don't expect it. This month, of course, is her birthday. You know how much she loved birthdays. So June 5th goes by, and we think of the joy she had. Like Brian said, we don't know, just as we don't know exactly what's going to happen when Christ comes back, neither do we know exactly what the saints are going through or what they're experiencing on the other side. Sometimes I wonder if she checks in on us, sees how things are going. Maybe she listens to him sing every once in a while. And she loved to sing. She couldn't sing, but she loved to sing. And she was a joy in so many ways. So the song we're going to sing tonight is "I've Been on My Way to Heaven for a Long, Long Time."
I've been on my way to heaven for a long, long time, and many things have happened that's clouded up my mind. But I am more determined to walk the narrow way. I've got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. There's a golden street to walk upon, a bell I'm gonna ring, a brand new angel in the choir, I want to hear her sing. There'll be a lot of friends waiting when I walk through the gates. I've got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. I've been through the lonesome valley, I've climbed the highest hill, I've known the joy of being in the center of God's will. I've watched the angels come and take my loved ones home to stay. I've got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. There's a golden street to walk upon, the bell I'm gonna ring, a brand new angel in the choir, I want to hear her sing. There'll be a lot of friends waiting when I walk through the gate. I've got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday.
Thank you for sharing that special number with us. And I can see Francie, if she were here, giving each of you a hug for doing that especially for her. And Appreciate those memories. Okay, let's sing number 482 in the Christian hymnal. And after this song, ask the chorus to come up, actually on the last verse of this song, and all come forward. And want to especially say again, thank you each one for sharing this evening. I'd like to ask one of the ministers to close after the chorus sings. Number 482 in the Christian hymnal.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame of believing on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand on.
Enjoyed being here tonight, as I trust you have, and just have two songs to sing tonight, nothing new, just a few old songs that I'm fond of, both songs about heaven, and I'd echo too what Brian said, that not to just float along and think of heaven, but something to keep us going. And I pray that it can do that for you.
Often been said there's nothing more certain than death. And me home, lead to that eternal day. And it beckons me on when the pathway seems dark, there's a light that is shining for me.
There's a light guiding me.
There's a light guiding me
through the darkness of midnight.
Darkness of night.
Till the morning I see.
Till the morning I see.
There's a light guiding me.
There's a light guiding me.
He's guiding me home.
He's guiding me home.
Till I'm safe in the fall.
Till I'm safe in the fall.
There's a light guiding me. There's a light guiding me. I am happy today and I'm nearer my home. There's a light that is shining for me. Just over the way is the mansion above. There's a light that is shining for me. There's a light guiding me.
There's a light guiding me.
Through the darkness of midnight.
Through the darkness of night.
Till the morning I see.
Till the morning I see.
There's a light guiding me.
There's a light guiding me.
He's guiding me home.
He's guiding me home.